The junior minister in the Department of Agriculture, Michael Healy-Ray, walked into what became quite the controversy this week when he suggested that landowners should be allowed to plant trees on bogs. Furious debate ensued about whether this was environmentally advisable or not, and it went back and it went forth throughout the course of the week, ending in an inconclusive and a tense standoff. What was missing from that debate was some expert opinion. And there was a gathering of just such a group of experts this week in Ennistymon, County Clare, for the Home Tree Changing Landscapes Conference, exploring new ideas about nature conservation. Lots of people who knew about bogs, lots of people who knew all about trees. I asked them about Minister Healy-Ray's proposal.
So my name's Shirley Clarkin and I'm the project manager for a wetlands restoration scheme in the Midlands in the Green Transition area called Toher.
What do you think of the idea of planting trees on peatlands?
Well, I think it's a very complicated issue and a very complex issue and nuanced, because first of all, you have to consider what type of peatlands you're talking about, what condition they're in, how much peat is on them, for example, how much is left, whether they've been extracted or not. And then, of course, what kind of forestry you're talking about, whether you're talking about deciduous woodland, whether you're talking about maybe land that has kind of regenerated itself into woodland, so naturally ecologically succeeding woodland, for example, or whether you're coming in and, you know, planting species in straight lines.
I don't think anybody's talking about planting trees on pristine blanket bog or raised bog, though, are they?
No, I don't think so. I hope not at this stage.
Is there an argument to be made, perhaps, though, for planting trees on the peatland that has been disturbed, that would take hundreds of years to restore to pristine peatland?
I think there is, particularly when you've got a very, very thin, you know, layer of peat left, you know, so it's a really extracted site, and maybe you're down to the marl or very, you know, subsoil underneath that. I think there probably is, because the trees that are going to go and that will sequester more carbon. So if your carbon store is gone, I think trees probably can be worth more per square hectare, you know, than trying to restore it into a wetland if you're thinking about climate change at this point in time.
So, yes, Minister Healy-Ray, but give us a little bit more detail, please.
I would say let's talk with everybody, Minister Healy-Ray, and give everybody more detail. And I think as well to show a picture of what that might look like.
Paddy Bruton, and I'm the Managing Director of Forestry Services Limited and Euroforest Ireland in Ireland, two private companies. We operate in the private forestry sector, operating in everything from the planting of land for farmers principally, but also do some state work, right through to the harvesting of crops at the end of the rotation and replanting them.
Should we be planting trees on peatland?
Okay, there's an awful lot of confused and uninformed comment on this, Philip. And none more so than maybe on the Katie Anna show last Monday evening. There is undisturbed peat that has never been drained, that is a current carbon store, that should not be planted with any form of trees. That should be left as is, and the owner should be rewarded for that, because it's currently fulfilling an ecosystem service. But there are lands that have been reclaimed, have been drained, have been disturbed, that were formerly peat, that are now being farmed and are grasslands. Now, those grasslands are suitable for forestry and can grow a variety of trees, including conifer trees. Now, that's the type of former peatland that has been disturbed and reclaimed that should be eligible for afforestation. So that's why I would support Minister Healy-Ray in what he has been saying about expanding the pool of land for afforestation in Ireland, but nobody is talking about planting undisturbed virgin peat grounds that are currently fulfilling biodiversity and carbon sequestration functions.
My name is Marina Conway and I'm with Home Tree. I'm the head of woodlands and land partnerships with Home Tree. So as a forester, I think a lot of what animates people is the discussion around these intensively modified and intensively farmed peatland soils that have been reclaimed and farmed for maybe 70 or 80 years. So what's the carbon balance here? If you're continuously farming that, if you're continuously maintaining the drains, if you're fertilising that land and if you're spraying any herbicides on it, and as well the animals that are grazing it, versus if you were to do no drainage and let's say no fertiliser, invert mound and put native trees on it and grow a native woodland, which one is going to be more, you know, which one is going to have a greater carbon balance? I don't think the science is out there on that.
I can't answer that question either, but intuitively you'd have to say it probably sounds or feels like the latter,
that trees would be have a greater carbon.
Well, there might be all sorts of other co-benefits for water and for biodiversity.
There's plenty. There's plenty of other co-benefits. But I think around the whole argument around this 30 centimetre rule, and this is where this discussion is coming from. It's about the 30 centimetre rule that any modified peatland soil that is greater than 30 centimetres cannot come into the afforestation scheme. So it cannot come in for woodland creation. The carbon is the big thing that is driving that decision, not necessarily the ecosystem, other ecosystem services. They're not looked at all in this situation. So 100%, if you're talking about water and habitat creation, absolutely, I would say it beats it hands down. But it's carbon is the sole thing that is driving that argument.
Marina Conway, I bet that wasn't what you were expecting to hear on that one.